For those young people, Madeline, and indeed for all of us, Nevada's never mattered so much in presidential politics as it does this year. And that's because with this accelerated election season, Nevada has zoomed its caucuses up to January 19th. That's just 16 days after Iowa begins this whole process. We sent reporter Adam Burke to find out how Nevada is dealing with all this newfound political attention.
Just a few months ago, Andres Ramirez, the outreach director for the Nevada State Democratic Party, was explaining the caucus process to a room full of retirees.
We had originally tried educating people using a presentation, going over talking points, just kind of going through the PowerPoint.
Now, Ramirez is an animated guy and a good teacher. But I mean, PowerPoint? Can you see the puzzled faces, the eyes glazing over? Well, he could. Since then, he's made some changes, and he now uses a live caucusing simulation.
We call it a mock-us. It's a combination of a mock caucus.
Now, there are a few no-nos in all of this. Using real presidential candidates makes it way too divisive. And you don't want to scare people away with too much complexity. So Ramirez has people caucus in his workshops over a slate of candidates that they can identify with, get worked up about, but still leave behind when it's all over. You know, pizza toppings.
Oh, pepperoni rule!
Salt with the anchovies.
Last week in a Las Vegas community center, 68 people caucused over the merits of cheese, veggie, pepperoni, anchovy, and everything.
Everything pizza.
Okay, so here's how a caucus works. There are two rounds of activity. Candidates get delegates based on the number of people in the room who support that candidate. So if half the crowd chooses pepperoni, then pepperoni gets half the delegates. But there's also a minimum. Pizza toppings need at least 15% support to remain in the game. It's okay, I'll do the math. That's 11 people. And when the dust settles after the first round, pepperoni has enough.
Well,
on the other hand,
anchovy, the people who like bad breath.
Anchovy does not have enough. But that doesn't mean curtains for anchovy.
Are we ready? Let the horse trading begin!
Because during the horse trading of the second round, some of the anchovy supporters agree to join forces with the Everything Pizza folks in exchange for half of the delegates. So in the end, even anchovy gets a slice of the pie. At least this time. Of course, what's really at stake here is not political representation for salty canned fish. Again, Andres Ramirez.
If we don't demystify the process and make them feel excited about this and comfortable that they can participate, they can do this, it's going to make it that much harder for us on January 19th.
The early presidential caucus has pushed political activists in Las Vegas into new territory. They're faced not only with the prospect of re-educating voters, they're also campaigning differently.
You have to win a caucus neighborhood by neighborhood. I mean, you have one person at a time. It's such retail politics, it would almost make most states blush just thinking about it, you know.
Brian Kaminsky is a staffer for Republican Congressman Ron Paul's campaign in Las Vegas. Preparing for the caucus has forced him to get to know neighbors he'd only seen from afar.
When you put on a television commercial, you're coming into somebody's house, but we're literally coming into somebody's house. I mean, you know, they're inviting you in and giving you cookies half the time.
And meanwhile, party leaders have seized on the early caucus as an opportunity to prepare for the general election a year from now. Sue Loudon is chair of the Nevada Republican Party.
You know, this is a practice run on our grassroots support and getting out the vote. And we will know who's engaged in Nevada. And that's very, very good for us.
Both parties are projecting an increase in turnout from what they saw in the 2004 caucuses. But that's an easy bar to get over, since the Nevada caucuses drew less than 1% of registered voters that year. Compare that to Iowa, where 21% of registered Democrats attended that year's caucus. So the big question in Nevada is, can either party attract more than just a tiny core of activists?
I don't see voters as being any more or less energized than they were, say, in 2004 or 2000, just because of the caucus process. Quite frankly, it probably confuses a lot of people.
Steve Sebelius is the editor of City Life, a weekly newspaper in Las Vegas.
You know, a lot of people said, well, now that Nevada is like Iowa, it'll become a little Iowa. You know, there'll be people in people's living rooms and diners, and it really hasn't turned out that way. There's not a lot of Iowa-type politicking here.
Sebelius says, in contrast to Iowa and New Hampshire, where informed voters grill candidates for hours on specific issues, the Nevada electorate has yet to exercise its early state clout.
In Nevada, I think the questions are much more general, and there's not that same grab them by the throat and don't let them go until you get your answer. And so as a result, I think the candidates campaign differently here, because the voters are different here than they are in Iowa.
And candidates are visiting Nevada less. There have been 10 times more presidential candidate events in Iowa than there have been in Nevada this year. Most of those Nevada visits have come from Democrats. Only two Republican candidates even have offices in the state. Susan Milligan, who covers national politics for the Boston Globe, says candidates seem baffled about how to meet real live voters in Las Vegas.
Well, what are you going to do? Campaign on the Strip? The people who are patronizing the casinos are generally from out of state, and, you know, they're drinking margaritas by the yard. They don't want to talk to a candidate.
Last week, several dozen people gathered to see former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani at the Crazy Pita, a newly minted restaurant in one of those newly minted suburban shopping malls south of Las Vegas. Republican Joan Passero stands on a chair to watch as Giuliani picks his way through the crowd, signing autographs.
This is the first candidate that I have seen for Republican president, and I think they should come here more.
Passero has covered herself with Giuliani bumper stickers. She even has one on her forehead, and she's waiting for her chance to get a photo.
With all the signs I have on my body, he can't miss me.
Passero eventually gets her 10 seconds with the candidate, and a photo, too.
There we go.
All right, there you go. Take it.
There.
It isn't much of a conversation. A voter in Iowa or New Hampshire might feel slighted, but Passero doesn't seem to mind.
As far as I'm concerned, Rudy's at the top of my list right now.
So you might be wearing another person's sticker on your forehead or never?
I don't know. That's debatable. Right now, I'd say no.
For NPR News, I'm Adam Burke.